There was a lady that did an in-home daycare that retired. And then there was another center that was in a transition time. It was also located in the church, and they just decided no longer to continue that. And so all of a sudden, you have all these families that don't have care.
All right, have fun. Pick me up, okay?
The church had been praying for a way to reach more youth, more families, and to provide a ministry to them.
We have a prayer card that we use, and it was distributed throughout the church. It was put in our hymnal racks, and we were encouraged to take it home and to keep it handy and to use it daily, individually as well.
It just happened with the timing that that daycare, when they made their decision to close, did not know that we had just had our first conversation. Should we not? What do you think? And when we decided to do that, it all kind of fell into place.
Kids are getting their first exposure to a church setting. People are coming through the doors for the first time and beginning to lower maybe some of those barriers or pre-existing connotations.
What had happened in our life is we lost my wife and my daughter's mom in a traffic accident, and this, what they did to help was just tremendous. Everybody, all from the top to the bottom. And so, I mean, that's just the sense of the family part of the church, and they really watch out for you and take care of you.
It used to be a quiet building. It's no longer quiet. I mean, there's little kids all over the place, and it's really a good feeling, to be honest with you.
Everybody has been willing to sacrifice, knowing, you know, why are we doing this and for what purpose, you know?
But what are we doing here?
We're really wanting to be that source for parents when they come in, not to only have a daycare, but then to also be incorporating some Christian values into it.
Dear God, thank you for its food to eat. Thank you for its snack time treat. Thank you for its time to
change and growing in Christ. Live lives that transform the world.
I pray in the precious and the powerful name of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't talk about my previous appointments that much. My preference is to look forward. Part of my hope is in discovering where God is moving, and part of my hope is that together we'll join in this work. But this morning I decided to share this video because I couldn't help but think about it as I spent time with Nehemiah this week. Sometimes in my life, it's helpful to look back and to be reminded of how God is in our corner and of how God is doing amazing work. In this morning's scripture, Nehemiah and his people, they'd been working hard, they were making progress, and then they were running into dissension. They had to figure out how to proceed. Nehemiah responded by going deeper in his faith, and he invited his Jewish brothers and sisters along with him. Jacob Armstrong, in the materials we're using over the course of Lent, he talks about building and renovating. He reminds us that this is hard work. And going forward, it will sometimes bring along with it some dissension. Gathering the forces and praying, spending time in Scripture, seeking wise counsel. Nehemiah gathered the people so they could push back against the lies and dissension, so they could care for one another, so they could remind each other, as Nehemiah 4 says, our God will fight for us. In a sense, that video is one reminder that even when things get hard, that God is in my corner, and that if I'm faithful, God will fight for me. I'll come back to it in a bit. Let's pray. Well, holy and powerful God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be spiritually renovating in our lives. You alone are our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Mark, and I'm a pastor here at McCabe, and we are reminded that as we're worshiping together, our God is right here. Our God is in our corner, willing to fight for us, willing to act on our behalf. During Lent, we're thinking about breaking through dissension. We're thinking about building faithful practices to help us renovate our lives. In the book of Nehemiah, we're mindful that the people of Israel had been conquered and conquered again. They were tired and they were downtrodden, but they'd also adjusted. They'd been living under oppressive conditions so long that it was really beginning to be just a new normal for them. And even under these conditions, God was still active and moving in their lives. God's spirit was still stirring in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was feeling led to do some renovating and some building. He was feeling led to do some renovating physically, but also some spiritual renovation too. It took some soul searching. There were tears in the process. And Nehemiah had to muster the courage to ask his boss. His boss was a conquering king. He had to ask this boss for help. So he approached King Artaxerxes. King, can I go help my people? My heart is breaking. God is telling me to go help make a difference. The king gave Nehemiah permission. You know, go tackle the project, tackle this massive building project that you're talking about. Together, we've been through Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2 over the last couple weeks. Nehemiah chapter 3, it describes the building as it's taken place. Eliashib builds at and around the sheep gate. The people from Jericho, they're working on the sections next to the sheep gate. The fish gate was built by Jasoniah. Mirmoth repaired the next sections. Zadok had a crew. The people from Tekoa were working, although, you know, they didn't really like working for certain supervisors. Shalom, the son of Halawesh, and his daughters, they repaired a section. The list in Nehemiah 3, it keeps going. These are groups of God's people. Groups of God's people working together, section by section, gate by gate. Do you see how God is working here? God is using ordinary people to get the job done. And together they're accomplishing what everyone else thought was impossible. But there were naysayers. There were factions watching from a distance, from the land of cynics. Hear how it sounds in this morning's scripture.
Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap? And a charred one at that."
Sanballat is a bully. He feels threatened by the optimism and the progress. He begins to stir up dissent. He's wanting to suck in anybody who will listen.
Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked across the top of it."
Tobiah the Ammonite, a follower, a mocker. That stone wall will collapse if even a fox walks along the top of it. I was trying to think what it might sound like as a modern-day taunt. Four eyes? Who dressed you this morning, your mama? That stone wall will collapse if even a fox walks along it. Good one, Tobiah. It reminds me of the sixth grader when my friend and I, we were walking home from school as first graders. The sixth grader, he liked to make fun of our school bags. Remember when we carried school bags instead of before we had the backpacks? He made fun of our school bags. We didn't care. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me. Yet here we are decades later. It was over there between 17th and 18th Street on Brayman Avenue. I still remember it. At the time, I didn't quite have the wisdom or the words to respond like Nehemiah responded when Nehemiah responded to Sambali and to Tobiah. Nehemiah responded,
"Then I prayed, hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders.
God, I give it to you. It's in your hands. Oh yeah, feel free to smite them down if you want. And if it's your will, touch them and forgive them. God, hear our prayer. Sambali and Tobiah planting lies, sowing seeds of doubt and dissent. Lies so the people begin to doubt themselves. Lies to make the people, begin to second guess everything they're doing. You say God gave you this dream? Well, can you really trust God? You're not that stupid, are you? Nobody thinks you can do it. God is on your side. Well, is God going to pick up those big rocks and put it in place to build the wall? Even a fox running across that wall would make it crumble. Lies that lead to insecurity and shame and second guessing. Friends, that's what happens when we step out in faith. That's what can happen when we allow God to do some spiritual renovation in us. We start making progress, and then maybe a storm starts building. Lies of doubt and dissent, they begin to chip away. It might be the devil chipping away. It might be some other evil pecking away. Maybe you hear it through the words of a denigrating boss or a family member who insists that you're not good enough. Maybe it's in a piercing memory from school. It could be anywhere. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. God doesn't love you. Friends, when we decide to do some renovating and some rebuilding, there will be periods of time where lies try to emerge. There will be barriers we'll have to work through. Sticks and stones may break my bones. We press into God's presence so the words don't hurt us. Our scripture continues.
At last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sambali and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion.
Lies and dissension. Sowing the seeds of doubt.
But we prayed to our God, and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves.
But we prayed to our God. This was a massive undertaking. We're not talking about a wooden fence in the backyard, maybe 6 feet high. We're talking about a fortress wall, 2.5 miles long. The wall was only half done at this point, and it was already 20 feet high. The voices of opposition were starting to peck away in the face of opposition. In the face of opposition, the obstacles, they seem more daunting. Man, this rubble laying around. We didn't notice it before. But now, we can't do this. Our muscles are aching. Our backs are getting sore, and there's still so much to do. Their physical safety was actually becoming an issue. Lies of dissension. Lies of opposition. The lies were starting to sink in.
Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies are saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work.
Sometimes we need reminders. Trusting God, Nehemiah had to stay focused, and he had to help the people through the lies.
The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows.
They kept working, they kept building, but they also had to adapt and respond. They needed a reminder, too, that God was in their corner.
Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people, and I said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.
Nehemiah gathered the people and reminded them of who they were. And even more importantly, he reminded them of whose they were. Remember, you are children of God. God is with you. God wasn't done with Nehemiah and his people yet, but that didn't mean it was easy. That didn't mean it was a smooth, clean road ahead.
When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half the men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side.
They stayed faithful, they kept going, and they adapted. Hear this next step they took.
The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Then I explained to the nobles and the officials and all the people, the work is very spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding. Then our God will fight for us.
So half the people are working, half the people are standing guard. The people working, they're basically working with one hand, because in their non-working hand, it has the weapon at the ready. Oh, and the trumpet guy is with Nehemiah. That's how Nehemiah fought the lies. He called the people together to support them and encourage them. Together, they stood up and protected one another.
We worked early and late, from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way, they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water.
This massive building and renovating project. There were voices of dissension. There were voices telling flat-out lies. There were people mocking them, and yet they went forward in faith. They stayed diligent by praying. They stayed diligent by knowing their story of faith, by studying the scriptures. They stayed diligent by seeking wise counsel. People supporting each other, encouraging each other, people gently holding one another accountable to living the faith. And Nehemiah kept the trumpet guy right beside him. The trumpet guy, calling the people together when they felt exposed, when they felt their faith wavering. The video I shared a few moments ago, it's one of my trumpet calls. It's a reminder for me when my faith is wavering or when I'm feeling exposed. Some of you have heard me talk about our time serving in Aberdeen, South Dakota. We served with good people and we saw God do amazing things. I was in my office there one morning and I got a call from the district superintendent. And the district superintendent was calling to tell me that we were moving to Beresford. And I said, oh, okay, but can I ask one question? And the district superintendent somewhat reluctantly said, well, okay, what's your question? And so I asked, you know, where in the world is Beresford? It turned out Beresford is right outside Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When we got to Beresford, we discovered great people. And we discovered that they'd been doing amazing building and renovating work. In the last 10 years, they'd built a new church building, a new education wing, and a new parsonage. The physical building was done, but it was time to really focus on the spiritual building. We got there, and things were going pretty well, but God was calling us to something more. We couldn't quite wrap our minds around it. During this time, a small group came up asking, you know, could we pray for the kids in the community? We weren't sure what this meant, but that's not a request you make say no to, is it? Not sure what it meant, we put together this prayer card. Anybody in the community who wanted to start praying with a prayer card got a copy. Over the course of the year, the more we prayed, the more God showed up and showed us how. The more we prayed, the more the building projects came into focus. And as we started to take steps, as we started to see more progress, there were those who were uncomfortable with the direction we were going. There were even a few lies that tried to get sown. Yet God was faithful. We prayed, we read scripture, we sought wise counsel, and in about a year we received the permissions and we raised the money and we found the right people and we made the renovations and we saw that fully functional, fiscally neutral, Christian preschool and daycare. It emerged and serves over 50 kids a day with a waiting list. We saw a Wednesday evening ministry emerge that serves over 100 kids on a Wednesday evening when there were a handful before that. We saw a community vacation Bible school grow from 75 kids to the next year 125 kids to the year that we arrived in Bismarck. There were over 200 kids in Vacation Bible School that summer. I only share this now to help illustrate that God-inspired building and rebuilding projects They're not only something we read about in Scripture. They're not something that only happened 3,000 years ago. I share this because we have a God who is alive and stirring right here, right now, making things new. I share this because when things like this are happening, when God is moving and breaking through, there will be opposition. The enemy will look for ways to push back and to try to crush it. There will be people who don't want it to happen. Lies will get sown, and the people of God stay focused and stay faithful. The people of God must stay faithful and focused because God is stirring. Because renovation is in process, and the end result is yet to be written. And so together we pray. Together we read Scripture. And together we seek wise counsel. Friends, spiritual building and renovating can be challenging and hard work. And yet we know that our God was active and moving during the time of Nehemiah. And we know our God is active and moving with us today. Our God is active and moving as we continue to go forward. Let's pray. God, you are faithful. God, you're also surprising, but you are faithful. And so we pray for your breakthroughs. We renew us in our ministries so that we are vibrant and spirit-filled. God, empower us to push back against lies and against evil. Empower us so others may experience the contagious, the miraculous, the life-saving message of Jesus. God, use us. Use me without limits, delays, or excuses to reach new people and to heal a broken world. We pray in the precious and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. And so we come before God as people who are forgiven and reconciled, who are reconnected to God through Jesus Christ. We come during this time of offering, thinking about spiritual renovation and what renovation means in our own lives.